positive enlightenment. All you need in one place, here at HRNradio.com.
Hi there, this is Sally Kirkland with my favorite guest, Laren Bright. Hi, Laren.
Hi, Sally.
And I thought we would celebrate Thanksgiving and this whole week by however the wind blows with you. Let's start with, you do such lovely guided meditations. Let's start with that.
I'm going to start with that. Okay, well, let's see. I have a thought in my mind. That we might do meditation on gratitude. And the thing is, we're going to call on the light, and then we're going to let go of my mind, hopefully, and see what Spirit has in mind.
Okay.
So we'll see where we go. So let's just take a moment, everybody. Let's just find yourself a comfortable position, whatever position you can sit in that... or lie in, or stand in, that doesn't create distractions in your body. In other words, sit in a position that's comfortable so that you're not distracted by your body.
Right.
Pains or tension or anything else, best you can. And let's just see, let's just ask for the light here. Father, Mother, God. Once again, we call ourselves into your presence, into greater awareness of your presence. We open to receive your guidance, and we let go of anything that would keep us separate from you. We find ourselves filled with loving gratitude as we release the restrictions of the body, mind, emotions, and just move our awareness into a more pure connection with you. We ask whatever you have for us to be made manifest in ways that we can understand. Grateful to be of service, and for this all we give our thanks, and thy will be done, and so it is. Let's just begin, as we often do, by focusing on our breathing. Just breathing in, breathing out. Just being aware of our breathing. Breathing is a state of being, not as of so much a physical process. And if thoughts come in, as they often will, instead of seeing them as distractions, just acknowledge them and then bring your focus back to your breathing. Feel a peacefulness settling in. Just allowing yourself to flow the in-breath and the exhalation, becoming one with your breathing. That's really all there is, just breathing in a rhythm with the universe, in a place of acceptance and gratitude. Experiencing the peace that comes in as we keep our focus single, currently keeping it focused on our breath. And as we come into this peacefulness, this relaxation, we allow healing to flow in to wherever it's needed in our body. Surprised if it goes to someplace other than what you were expecting. Just let this healing light come in and go to the cause of whatever it is you may be experiencing in your body or your mind or your emotions. Let this light bring symptoms will automatically come into balance. So don't think you know what you need. Rather, just ask in your own silent prayer right now. Father, Mother, God, I ask for a healing. For whatever I need healing from. And I receive. And I receive with gratitude. Set aside my judgments of myself, how I might have created this condition that is being healed. I set aside thoughts of being a victim of something that has created this condition from which I'm being healed. Just let go of all of that and just permit the healing to take place. You might feel it as a warmth or a tingling or a coolness. It doesn't matter. However it is for you is perfect for you. And just embrace the healing. Embrace it with gratitude. Be grateful for yourself for having the wit to accept this healing. Be grateful to yourself for allowing this healing. Be grateful to yourself for having created a situation where this healing can take place. Congratulate yourself. Celebrate yourself. Figuratively pat yourself on the back for bringing yourself here right now. As you receive this healing and your body, mind, emotions relax, you can expand your awareness into the levels around you. Let your awareness flow beyond the body into the next level, very close to the body. Some people identify that as the astral level. That's the level of imagination. Can be the level of nightmares. But whatever, just let this light and this healing light flow into that level, bringing with it healing and balancing, harmonizing. It's almost as if you can hear, maybe you can hear, harmony as these levels, physical and astral, align in greater balance. Just let go of any imaginative constructs that you hold with yourself. Bless them. Let them be. You needn't be attached to them, controlled by them, disturbed by them. Just let them be and allow yourself to be free. Take in a breath and just let it go. And when you let it go, just let all of that stuff go. And let your awareness expand further around your body to the next level. We can call this the causal level, which is the level of emotions. You might experience gratitude as an emotion. I don't think that's exactly what it is, but that's often the way we experience it. So let this healing light come in to the area of emotions. If you have hurt feelings, Let this light come in and soothe them. Just observe that taking place. You don't have to get involved with your hurt feelings. Just be aware of them and be aware that you can allow this light to come in and bring balance and healing. It's like a sigh of relief when this takes place, as you just let your awareness flow into this healing and balancing that's taking place on the emotional level. And we receive, and we receive with gratitude. We breathe in, we breathe out, and let go of anything that we can release or that is permitted to be released here in this level of emotions. And then, as that level harmonizes with the astral and the physical levels, maybe not the same frequency as those other levels, but a harmonious one, so that we're in greater balance, physical, emotional, imaginative. And from this foundation of balance, we move our awareness further to the next level, which is the level of the mind, the mental level. This is a level that's all around the body, not just in the head. People misunderstand that the brain is it's like a physical storage unit, but it's not the source of our thoughts. So as we bring our awareness to this mental level, we once again open ourselves and ask for this healing light to bring peace and harmony to the mental level, letting go of beliefs. And when I say letting go, I mean we don't negate them. We just right now let go of them so that they don't run us. We acknowledge them. We recognize that they have assisted us to get to the place of awareness that we are. And we just let them go into harmony and balance. Prejudices fit with that. Belief systems, beliefs. Just now we're letting those go into harmony. It's like they're vibrating more harmoniously with us. This allows us that when we come back later, we can examine these beliefs, these prejudices, prejudgments, from a more clear place. And we can decide which of these beliefs that we hold, we want to continue holding, which we can look at what they're producing in terms of our experience, and we can determine whether we like what they're producing or not, or whether they're producing things that are positive for us, that are moving us forward, or whether they're just keeping us stuck and holding us back from expanding and growing and learning and becoming more of who we are. So we ask with gratitude that this light come in, bring healing and balancing and clarity to our thoughts, to our beliefs. And we find ourselves now physical, imaginative, emotional, and mental levels in harmony, in balance, in peace with each other, no longer warring with each other, no longer longer fighting or conflicting with each other, but just in a harmonious state of neutrality. And for this, we give our thanks. For so many of us, our thoughts chatter and distract us and keep us from the joy and the balance of being harmonious with ourselves. Maybe a prayer for you is, I wish my mind would just leave me alone. Well, the mind has a function, but its function is not to run us, it is to serve us. And asking for this healing light to come into that level allows us to be in a more positive relationship with our mind. And now we move our awareness further into the subconscious, unconscious level. We call this the etheric level. And as we move into this level, it's not a level that we have a lot of awareness of by its very nature, being subconscious or unconscious. So we don't have a particularly conscious relationship with this level, but we can flood it with light, pure white light. For me, when I see this level, it's sort of like walking into a pitch black room. And I know there's stuff in there, but I just can't see it. But I'm okay with that. I just ask for the light to come, organize these things in ways that are harmonious for me. They release control over me, because our unconscious thoughts, our unconscious being often influences us. Because it's unconscious, we're not aware of why we do certain things. Well, that might be the reason. So now we just bring in this light and ask that whatever influence these things have on us, they be for our highest good, that they serve us, that they lift us. We just receive. We find ourselves humming in harmony on all our levels: physical, emotional, astral, causal, etheric. And as these levels come into greater harmony, we begin to glimpse the next level, moving through these physical, or what we would call, might call, lower level awarenesses, and into the first level of pure spirit. We call this the soul level. We just allow the light from the soul level to flood through us, through this channel we've created in harmony with ourselves, bringing this soul light through all our levels, down through the etheric, the mental, the causal, which is the emotions, the astral, which is the imaginative level, and into the physical level, physical body. And in this harmony, we find ourselves whole. We bring our focus to gratitude, become aware of many of the things that we are so grateful for that we might not have even been aware of before. We take in a breath. We receive of this light. We acknowledge that it fills us. And then we say thanks.
Thanks.
Now you can just kind of wiggle your toes and your fingers. Let your eyelids flutter open. You can stay in this peaceful, relaxed state if that's where you've gotten to. This is a great way to foundation to build your day on. Back to you, Sally.
Great. That was great. We're going to take a short break and we'll be back talking about the spiritual teachings.
Uplifting Talk, HealthyLife.net.
Hi there, this is Lauren Bright and me, Sally Kirkland. And during the break, we were talking about all the different challenges going on the planet right now. And I was kind of struck by seeing news of 85% of the koala bears are now dead because of the Australian fires, which ate up 2 million acres. And then I saw footage of Venice and, you know, all how high the water's risen and people wondering how long they can live there. And then I saw something online about all these amazing kids, hundreds of kids, storming the football field of a football game a couple days ago, protesting for climate change. And it just seems like there's a lot going on right now. I wonder if you would address that.
Well, I mean, let's see. I think the first place to start, there's a premise that I personally happen to believe in, and it is that everything is perfect. And if we're unhappy with the way things are, it's because we just don't like it that way. I mean, that's quoting John Roger, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than beating myself up and looking at all the ways that I am ineffective in making change, to a certain extent, I think we do ourselves a greater service and do the planet a greater service by approaching it. Let's see. First of all, it's like, okay, if this is all perfect, what is there to learn from this? What can I learn from this? What can we all learn from this? And because we can focus on all the things that are wrong. Now, but having said that, let me backtrack a second, because the fact is that what we're focusing on is what, how do I even put this? I mean, I was going to say what the media presents to us, but I don't mean media in a negative way, or it's just that we think reality is what we're presented with, and so what we read, what we see on television, you know, what we read on the internet, creates this perception of what's going on in the world. And the sad fact is that bad news sells better than good news. So consequently, the media that is dependent on income for their survival is going to present what sells.
Yeah.
And that, by definition, currently is bad news. And so we get this perception, and from that perception, I think that we create beliefs, you know, that the world is really screwed up. And then we start living in a screwed up world, and that seems pretty hopeless and sad and depressing, and it's like, well, okay, so You know, everything is hopeless. Why do we even get up in the morning? And so, then maybe this comes back to what we started the show out talking about gratitude. It's like, instead of thinking all this negative stuff is all that's out there, I think it's, number one, I think it's important for us to acknowledge, yes, that stuff is out there, but that's not all that's out there.
Yeah.
And so we, as creators in our own right, get to create the reality that we want to live in. And speaking for myself, yes, this negative stuff is part of my reality, but it's not the whole of my reality. And I can live in the negative, or I can live in the good news. And that's a choice. And the sad fact is that we live in what we call, in our spiritual teachings, the negative realms. That's everything below the soul realm. They're negative, but not bad. They're like negative on the poles of a battery. And part of the makeup of their negativity is that there is karma involved in all this stuff. So I can live in these negative realms with the awareness that I am not of these negative realms, because who I am is a soul that has a body having a human experience. With that realization, I get to be grateful for the fact that this world, one way of looking at it is it's a classroom. And I may not like the class, but I'm here to learn the lessons of that class. And if I can be neutral about the class instead of being so angry about it, and just say, okay, what can I learn from this? How can I learn and grow from this? And how can I spend my conscious time looking at the kids running out on the field, you know, and doing positive things rather than looking at Venice being submerged underwater.
Right.
You know, so so what's a practical way for being able to do that? And this is nothing new, and this is nothing unique to us or to our church or anything else. I mean, you've seen it in Oprah and everything else. But the fact is, gratitude can lift us, can lift me, can lift you out of the doldrums of, oh, things are horrible. And then we can say there are horrible things going on and I'm not part of that.
Right.
And how do you get to gratitude? It just start, I mean, make a list. I mean, whatever gets you moving in that direction, the more we focus on gratitude, the more we choose to focus on gratitude, I think we build a momentum to keep us going in that direction, and it becomes, I don't want to say exactly automatic, but it becomes easier to turn our focus into the positive, mm-hmm. rather than being stuck in the negative. I literally have stopped participating in the news almost entirely, because I find when I read the news or listen to the news or watch the news, I just get frustrated because inside of me things aren't going in a positive way. I'm not saying that they're going in a bad way. I'm just saying they're not going in a positive way. They're not currently going in a positive direction. And in a certain way, I an analogy for that is like, you know, if you get a cancer diagnosis and your doctor says or recommends to you that you go through chemotherapy, the going through chemotherapy is no fun, but it gets you to the point of being cancer-free. I feel like a lot of what's going on the planet today, and particularly in our country, is chemotherapy. It's like this is the not fun part that will awaken us and move us toward the positive stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong, but until I'm proven wrong, I'm going to choose to believe that.
Mm-hmm.
you start feeling down, start making a list of the things you feel grateful for.
Yeah. This wonderful movie that just came out is A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
Yeah.
About Mr. Rider. Have you seen it?
No, I have not.
Oh, my God. Everyone should go see that. It really is what we're talking about. It's just, oh, my God, when the anger comes up, just going to the gratitude. Of all the films I've seen this year, that one just, it had me crying all the way through it and laughing. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with more with Laren.
Radio Your Way, HealthyLife.net.
Hi there, this is Sally Kirkland again with Laren Bright, and we've been talking about gratitude and Thanksgiving and all that we have to be grateful for and the attitude of gratitude. I was thinking, I mean, I don't have physical family, but every day I'm on Facebook talking to people all over the world who consider me their extended family.
Yeah.
And it's so exciting that I get to be grateful for all of these men and women that I've never physically met, who I've been talking to for years now online. And today I put a picture of Thanksgiving and said how grateful I was for my Facebook family at Thanksgiving time. And all of these people responded, and it's almost like being a cheerleader for that and seeing how people are just dying to talk about that when least little nudge comes in. But tell me, if you would, if you can remember words of John Roger on the subject of gratitude and Thanksgiving.
That's not fair.
Oh, no?
I mean, it's okay. It's like, I could look some stuff up if I knew you were going to ask. I'm not one of these people that kind of memorizes JR's stuff. It's just that I find it popping up from time to time when I need something.
Well, he did talk about the attitude of gratitude in his books.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, JR talked about gratitude. Well, I don't know why this is popping into my head, but I think one of the things that's attached to gratitude that JR talked a lot about was forgiveness.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, let's do it this way. There is a great and deceptively simple process for self-forgiveness. And which I'm going to share in a minute. And the thing is, I was thinking, when you were saying that, Sally, that it's like, it's hard to be grateful if you're judging yourself.
Yeah.
And I think forgiveness is a misunderstood concept also. In the technique that JR, I mean, I don't know if it originated with him, but he presented to us, like I said, it's really simple. It's this. You just kind of sit down and you get in a place where you won't be distracted. And chances are you're pretty aware of what you've been judging yourself for. And let's see if I can come up with one here that's active for me. I lately have been having some minor stomach stuff, and it's very minor, really. But I've been judging myself that I haven't been taking care of myself as well as I could. Another way of saying that is I'm eating stuff that I enjoy eating that may not be the best stuff for me to be eating.
Right.
So if I was going to forgive myself for that, which I am, I would sit down and I would just say, okay. And you can do this silently or aloud or whatever, and you can do it with somebody else, you can do it alone. Sometimes I think it may be even more effective alone, but I'll sit down and close my eyes and say, okay, I forgive myself for judging myself to not be taking care of myself. And the key here is I'm not forgiving myself for not taking care of myself, I'm forgiving myself for judging myself to not be taking care of myself.
Right.
Because the fact is, I don't know if I really am or not. I think I'm not. So I'm judging, and that's what brings in the judgment. So I forgive myself for judging myself for.
Yeah.
You know, I forgive myself or judge myself for not being more attentive to my mother when she was in the process of dying.
Right.
You know, that, I mean, that's one that comes up for me from time to time. My mom.
I forgive myself for judging my arthritis.
No, I forgive myself for, that might be, I forgive myself for judging myself for having arthritis.
I forgive myself for judging myself for having arthritis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, it's not, you're not forgiving the condition, you're forgiving yourself, you're forgiving the judgment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So, anyway, so... I'm thinking, I mean, what I'm getting right now is, you know, if our listeners would like to get into a really, I'm going to say, strong position for gratitude, you might start, before you make your gratitude list, you might start by self-forgiveness, by doing self-forgiveness. And how long do you do it? Until, you know, as long as you want. You know, I mean, I find that in doing self-forgiveness, sometimes stuff seems to clear, and then, you know, a week or a month or a year or whatever later, it seems like it's back again. Well, there's nothing that says I can't go back and do it again.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe I'll do it every day. You know, so it's like it's up to each person to determine how they want to do it, how often they want to do it. But I'll tell you this. There have been times when I have done self-forgiveness, and when I've gotten done, you know, whether it's for 3 minutes or a minute or 5 minutes or 10 minutes, I mean, whatever, but when I've really done it and had the experience of self-forgiveness, I get up and feel like a weight, you know, like I've dropped a sack of rocks. It's amazing. It's really cool.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I really do recommend that. To folks, there's, yeah, I mean, if you want to go into deeper discussion on forgiveness, there's a book that you can get by John Roger called Forgiveness: The Keys to the Kingdom.
Oh, I love that book.
Yeah, I mean, I do too. That's one of my probably two or three favorite books of his out of the whatever 40 or 50 that mm-hmm. that he's written. But anyway, Forgiveness: The Keys to the Kingdom. You can Google it if you want, or you can go to www.msi.org and you can buy it from them, or you can probably, I assume, buy it from Amazon, because what can't you buy from Amazon anymore?
Yeah.
You know, but
it's about $10.
But, I mean, forgiveness is a great thing, and I, like I said, I think it goes hand in hand with gratitude.
Yeah.
And
totally.
Yeah.
I was thinking as I was hearing John. To be continued. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back for our last segment.
Excellent.
Radio Your Way. HealthyLife.net.
Hi there. This is Sally Kirkland and Lauren Bright, and we are here for our last segment of the show, talking about gratitude, talking about what's Thursday. Thursday is Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Thinking about all the people who might be alone, who... can find a way to be grateful for themselves. I know people always ask me, what are you doing Thanksgiving? And they always say, going to the movies, you know, and they look shocked. But I have such a good time by myself. I'm going to see Marriage Story this Thursday, which got great reviews.
Cool.
Scarlett Johansson. And it's at the Directors Guild of America, and I'll go there and sit there and watch and come home and probably... just rest and watch TV and whatnot. I have no desire to eat turkey, no desire to make turkey, no desire to go to a festive thing. And then people look at me like I'm crazy.
But, you know, Sally, that kind of goes back to this thing about beliefs
mm-hmm.
and how we create our reality by our beliefs. And if people believe that it's Thanksgiving and you have to be with family and you have to be eating turkey and mashed potatoes, and it's easy to get sucked into that.
Yeah.
But like you said, the fact is you don't.
No. No.
Well, that's great.
I mean, I think it's great that people start thinking about giving and
yeah.
sharing and all of that. And I've noticed that online, how many people are... One person wrote a post and said, whoever's alone, please come to my house and get turkey and a hug. And I wrote him and said, that is so sweet that you offered that. You know, I think it's great that people go to that place. But I'm just so happy to spend Thanksgiving alone.
I have times like that, too. I like being alone.
Yeah.
It's almost like, for me, there's a freedom in being alone, because I'm not obligated to change my behavior for anybody else.
Yeah.
You know, what if I want to do this, I do this. If I want to do that, I do that. And I like being with people. I like people. I'm one of these people that I just like people.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and sometimes it's nice to be by ourselves.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. You've been looking great. Listen, all you listeners out there, if you haven't seen Sally lately, she looks fantastic.
Oh.
No, really.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, part of that is being so happy with doing a movie that was written about me.
Oh, yeah. What's that about? I mean, how did that happen, and what's the deal?
Well, the deal is that this man, Zach Gruber, always was inspired by Sally Kirkland in this movie called Anna for years and years, since he was a child. And he came to California wanting to meet Sally Kirkland, and happened to come into an art gallery where I was giving an art show. And I asked him if he would take a picture of me and my painting, and he did. And I said, you're a Virgo, aren't you? And he said, yes. I said, are you my new assistant? And he said, yes. And that's where it all began. And then we had about a year of amazing experiences that were as funny as they were dramatic. So it's a year out of my life. It's made to look like it's in the now, but it was probably 2002. And all these people play people in my life. Eric Roberts plays my agent. Keith Carradine plays my long-lost lover 40 years ago. Jennifer Tilly plays Zach, my personal assistant's mother. Maria Conchita Alonso plays his former, his will-be agent. I don't know if you remember an actress, Kay Lenz. She plays a director in Hollywood I'm trying to get hired by. Anyway, all these wonderful actors, and I get to be me and to be as crazy funny as I can be and to be as dramatic and tears streaming down my face. I get to do everything in this movie, and they're just now getting started to finding an editor. And I imagine that after it's edited, it will be off. It will be, you know, they'll go for the Toronto Film Festival and Cannes and all of that, and we'll see what happens with distribution.
Yeah.
But I think it's a really good film. And some of the people in MSIA came and they were extras, and we had so much fun. One of them, having a senior moment now, Chris Sharp's daughter, Leanna.
Leanna
was an extra, and she came over to me after the minister's meeting yesterday, and there were tears in her eyes, and she said, I can't believe that you called in the light for all of the cast and the crew. And she said, I've never been able to do that publicly.
Wow.
And I said, oh, well, I encourage you. You know, it's just so easy. Just do it. You know, people may not know the word level, but they get the spirit of it. And so I got to talk about John Roger in the film and my ministry, and I got to call in the light. And I got to do all these things that I wouldn't ordinarily be able to do.
Right.
But I do remember that when Zach first came on the scene, he struck up a friendship with John Morton.
Oh, yeah?
And he kept running into John Morton. Now, you know, there's going to come a day where Zach is going to somehow do a MSIA-type ministry. He's a staunch Catholic. He goes to church all the time.
Oh, wow.
But he understands me and John Roger and me and John Morton and all that. So we just finished 2 weeks ago, and it was the most
amazing. Tell me the name. What's the name of the movie?
Sallywood. Yeah.
Perfect.
So people will think it's a documentary. It's not, but it's a true story.
Right.
Yeah.
That's really cool. That's just really cool.
I spent a lot of time, Laren, comparing myself. you know, I should be doing what Lee's doing and traveling the world with them. And then I come back to, you know, since I was 10 years old, I've always wanted to be an actress.
Right.
And I've been doing it 60 years now for money, which is kind of extraordinary. I've never had to leave the industry.
Yeah.
And I haven't had your typical happy marriage and children and grandchildren.
Right.
I haven't had a typical church ministry.
Right.
But I am doing what J.R. told me to do in my ordination.
Yeah.
You know, I'm fulfilling. He mentioned the word public twice. Mm. And I've been very public about my love for God. And I'm just really peaceful and grateful at this time in my life. I'm 78 now. And it just, I couldn't be, here we are talking about gratitude.
Yeah.
I'm really grateful. I know I've had my downs, and I can remember calling you up and saying, Laren, oh, and you were always there for me, and I'm grateful for that.
Sure.
And I'm grateful for I'm so grateful for the movement of spiritual inner awareness. Being able to be an ordained minister, and what is that? I just do my life with slightly more responsibility and integrity than I did before. Focus on God, not on all the time what Sally wants, but what's the highest good of all concerned.
Indeed.
So with that, thank you so much for being here today. And Father, Mother God, we ask just now for the light of the Holy Spirit to surround, protect, and fill everybody this Thanksgiving holiday, no matter with people or alone. I am grateful for all of you, and I hope that you're grateful for yourself. So be it.
So be it.